Good morning and a post-Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to come. Hey, I'm Kevin Dunn, your speaker this morning. Happy to be with you in this between Christmas and New Year's time we have together. Looking forward to a good new year. Now, I know we don't know the future. We don't know what disasters could happen or what good things can happen. But I hope that you're able to go into the future with a sense of confidence that God is going to be with you wherever you go. You know, he told his servant Joshua, after Moses had died, now Joshua is in charge, and on him rests the responsibility of leading the Israelite people into Canaan, conquering the nations, going against powerful city-states there in the land of Canaan. And God told him, Joshua 1:9, "Don't be afraid, be strong, be of good courage, the Lord is with you wherever you go." You know, and when you think about that, that's a promise for all of us. If you put your faith in Christ, if you believe that he exists, that he is there for you, and you are one of his, then you can be assured that whatever this new year holds for us, the Lord will be with us wherever we go. That gives us a lot of confidence. Well, I want to talk somewhat about this past year, and I want to talk about the idea of starting the new year with a clean slate. But before I do, I want to just again invite you to come on out to Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road has been doing for, I don't know, I guess roughly 15 years now. And if you happen to see the pictures on our bulletin board, you see that a lot of people have come through the training. A lot of people have benefited from Celebrate Recovery, and we just encourage you to come and check it out. Maybe you don't feel like you have any particular problems that need to be addressed, but come on out and check it out anyhow. Celebrate Recovery, we serve a meal, pizza typically, 6 o'clock Thursday evening, 6 o'clock Thursday evening. Then we have a singing service, and then we have a brief message from Dennis, the one who founded Celebrate Recovery. And then we get into a discussion and we share things with one another. Now, I want to assure you that everything's confidential. You know, we don't share your business with other people, family members or friends or anything. But it's an opportunity for you to come and share. And especially if you're struggling with an addiction and maybe you're awfully tempted to go back into that habit, that self-destructive behavior, come on out to Celebrate Recovery. I think that you may find that it's a blessing, that it's been a benefit. And we'd love to see you there. 6 o'clock. At the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. Look for the big flashy sign. We just bought that a year or so ago. But we'd love to have you come out and check out Celebrate Recovery. I think that you'll be blessed. I think that we'll have some fun interacting with one another. Well, cleaning the slate before we come to the new year. And what am I talking about? How are you standing with God right now? How are you feeling about some of the things you've done in the past year? Maybe you've made some mistakes. You've done some things you're a bit ashamed of. Maybe nobody else knows about them. Maybe only you and God. And you'd like to start all over with God, if you will. You'd like to know that your sins are forgiven. You'd like to know that everything's all right between you and God. But you don't feel worthy, okay? You don't feel like, you know, as you look back over your life, maybe through this past year, maybe years before that, you're just thinking it's a good time to restart. Now, of course, New Year is a good time. We want to restart a lot of things. A lot of us make our pledges, make our promises. Well, I'm going to lose weight. Well, I'm going to be nicer to my spouse. Well, I'm going to be nicer to my children. Well, I'm going to learn how to do something this coming year. Well, I'm going to go to school. Well, you know, all the things, the promises that we make, the resolutions that we lay down for the new year. Now, most people I talk to these days, they've given up making resolutions, and I don't blame you if you've done that, because resolutions are often broken. You know, we think we're going to do this, we think we're going to do that. What do any of us really know about the future? Okay, we think this is going to happen. What does any of us know? Only God knows the future. We make our resolutions. We pledge ourselves to lose weight or exercise more or spend less money or whatever it may be. But whatever our resolutions are, we're so weak in our human selves that generally speaking, we go back on our resolutions. We may be good for the first week or so, and then we go back to the way we did things before. So we're pretty weak in that regard. That's the human condition. The human heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Who can understand it? Only God can understand the human heart. And so when we make our resolutions to do better, we got to remember that we're only human beings, that we still stumble, we still make mistakes, we still do things sometimes we know better, but we still do them. And so we still need an opportunity to clean that slate. Okay, we still need that opportunity to have the past forgiven and have the assurance that even though I've stumbled, even though I've done things I shouldn't ought to have done, and by the way, that includes things I think, that includes motivations, that includes every aspect of the human condition, whether I do it, whether I think it. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever it may be, I need cleansing. I need forgiveness. Well, we all need that clean slate, that slate of our past wiped out and restored to newness in Christ. We all need to know that God is not up there just looking to catch us doing something wrong so he can shake his finger at us and condemn us to hell. No, we need to know that God forgives sin. We need to know that we can start over again with a clean slate. And I'm going to share some scripture verses to that in that degree, okay? Now, there is a condition to getting forgiveness. And the condition is a willingness, even if we may fail, even if we may stumble, but a willingness to give up the sin, okay? And I'm thinking if it's a specific sin. Now, someone may ask for forgiveness and get forgiveness when they have every intention of going on and indulging in that sin. So don't misunderstand me here. The purpose of forgiveness is not so that we can go on, you know, sinning, not go on living the lifestyle that's displeasing to God, but the purpose of forgiveness is to renew us and to cleanse the record and to help us to go forward and to walk away from that which is causing destruction to ourselves, to our families, and above all, dishonoring to God. So I'm going to look at some scripture verses with you, okay? If you have a Bible handy, you might want to open it up. If not, listen along. You're probably at work right now, maybe on your car radio. But listen to these scripture verses as I share them with you. The first one I'm going to start with is very familiar to most students of the Bible because we have to turn to it so many times, okay? 1 John 1:9. Excuse me, a little phlegm in my throat. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? He is faithful, he is just, he will forgive us our sins, but not only that, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, before I talk more about that, I'm going to go to the verse in front of that, 1 John 1:8, which says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There are people who think, well, I got through today without sinning. I'm a perfect person. I remember listening to a prominent politician ask one time, do you ever ask forgiveness from God for your sins? And this man responded, for what? I don't sin. Well, I would say anybody that says I don't commit sins or anybody who says I'm perfect, anybody who says I never do anything displeasing to God, they're self-deluded. They're walking in blindness because the fact of the matter is, like Romans 3 tells us, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, okay? All of us have sinned. We're all guilty. And we do it, dare I say, every day, whether we recognize it or not. Because we have a sinful condition. So the old Apostle John tells us in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? First thing we need to do is acknowledge that we are sinners, that we struggle with our human tendencies, that lower nature in all of us. Now, your struggles may not be exactly the same as mine. You know, some people struggle with alcohol, some with smoking, some with pornography, some with sexual sin and all of its forms, okay? People struggle, but there's a common denominator that brings all these struggles together, a common denominator that defines the basis of our sin, selfishness, self-seeking, self-gratification, self-centeredness. Sin finds its origin in self-centeredness, selfishness. And it finds its playing out in grasping that which doesn't belong to me, okay? A sinner is defined as one who is self-centered and who is perpetually grasping for that which doesn't belong to them. Whether it's your neighbor's wife, whether it's someone else's possessions, whether it's whatever it may be, reaching out and taking that which doesn't belong to you. Pornography fits into that category. People sit by the hours looking on their computer screens, watching those salacious pictures and desiring that which is on the screen. And it's amazing to me. It's almost like you can't turn on a movie anymore that's not got certain salacious scenes on the movie. I have to guard my own soul in that regard. And many of you should too. We have to guard ourselves. We have to be away, walk away from those periods, those places where we are tempted. Okay? We have to shut the door to those temptations. And it's hard sometimes. We have to make decisions to do the right thing, even when the temptation is to do the wrong thing. We have to make choices, okay? So it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To me, that is a great and precious promise from our Lord. Because none of us can claim that we are sinless. None of us can claim that we don't sin in some form, whether it's in thought or deed, every day. And yet we have a God who's willing to forgive us from these sins. But not just to forgive us, he desires to cleanse us from the very presence and penalty of those sins. Now again, I'm not talking about perfectionism here. But the life of a Christian, of a genuine, devout, true Christian believer, one who takes God at his word, one who loves the Lord Jesus and desires to follow him as one of his modern-day disciples, one who is truly in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they desire to grow in Christ's likeness, in character. They want to be more like Jesus in this Christian life, okay? And how can I desire to be more like Jesus if I'm perpetually, willfully holding on to those sins? So we confess our sins, even though we've blown it again and again and again, we confess it with a desire to have that sin taken out of our lives. Some people have told me, if I could just go up and flick a switch, okay? If I could just flick a switch and that temptation is taken clear out of my life, oh, I would do that at a heartbeat. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that's all we had to do? Flick a switch and that temptation's gone. Flick a switch, there's no more alcohol, no more desire for drugs, no more desire for pornography, no more desire for illicit sex, no more desire for all of these things that tempt us in so many ways. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Flick a switch, pull a lever, push a button, it's gone. Well, unfortunately, that's not generally how it works. All right. Now, you will hear stories about someone who, you know, maybe they were an alcoholic deep in the throes of alcoholism, you know, controlled by the demon of alcohol, and they give their heart to Jesus and they never touch another drop. Those stories are true, but they're also rare. Sometimes we have to go through a struggle. Sometimes we have to get help. We have to get spiritual counsel. We have to sit in with groups. But above all, acknowledging that God does provide a way of escape when we're under temptation. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to keep my finger in 1 John because I'm not done there yet. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, give me just a moment, and 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here's a precious promise. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Remember we read that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. A way to escape, okay? There's always a way to escape from the pull of temptation. The question is, are we willing to take that way? Okay? Are we willing to get on our knees before God when we're feeling that overpowering compulsion to yield to a temptation, whatever it may be? Are we willing to plead with God to take that away from us and get the victory? Lord, help me. Might be all we have time to pray. Lord, help me. I'm tempted to do something you know I shouldn't do, and I know I shouldn't do. It's displeasing to you. It's destructive to my spiritual life. Lord, I need help. Are we willing to say that and to stay on our knees sometimes until the temptation passes? Well, that's the way of escape often in the life of a believer. We all get tempted every day to do things, to think things, to have attitudes, to gossip. Maybe it's something relatively easy. You know, maybe it's dealing with a bad temper. Well, I know many people that struggle with temper. Sometimes I struggle with my temper. But we need to remember that God has provided a way for escape if we're willing to take that way. But how often, instead of taking that route, that escape window, we yield to the temptation, then what happens? If we confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talking about a clean slate as we enter into the new year. God has promised by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed in behalf of your sins and my sins, He has promised, He has pledged Himself to forgive your sins if we will confess those sins. Now, when we talk about confession, what are we talking about? Some people, they go to a priest and bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and they do a formal confession there. It's more than that, really. Confession is not telling God something He doesn't already know. All right? It's not itemizing the list of all of my sins that I can drag up throughout the past. It's not, you know, making God aware, maybe surprising Him because, you really did that? No, that's not what confession is about. Confession is simply an acknowledgement not only to God, but also to yourself, really, and to those who you may have hurt, those who may bear the burden of the consequence of your sin. Confession to clear the soul of the guilt that you carry because of your sin, to acknowledge your sinfulness, to acknowledge that you hurt somebody, and that you hurt God, that you dishonored Him by what you put into your body or what you saw through your eyes, to acknowledge that you are a sinner, okay? To confess your sins. I think about the thief on the cross, and most of you who read your Bible know something about the thief that was at the side of Jesus upon the cross, and he was dying. And he looked to the middle cross, and he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And what was Jesus' response? Verily I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus could have asked this person, well, how many Sabbaths have you kept lately? How much tithe have you paid to the church? How many good deeds have you done? How many sins have you committed? In other words, he could have asked that dying thief on the cross to come up with the whole list of his sins, of ways he's broken the commandments, ways he's displeased God, ways that he's hurt people. He may have killed people. He was an insurrectionist. He may have done all kinds of wicked things. Jesus does not ask him for an itemized list of all of his sins. He simply acknowledges, this man acknowledged that he was a sinner. You remember, if you read the account in Luke 23, he acknowledges to the other thief that we deserve to be here. We're sinners. And Jesus doesn't ask him to acknowledge all the specific sins. He simply counsels him to acknowledge that, yes, he was a sinner in need of salvation. And Jesus says, you're going to be with me in paradise. It's a beautiful story, one worth meditating on, one worth reading carefully. So he was forgiven of all of his sins. He didn't have to itemize them. He didn't have to go through the list. Now, if there's specific sins that you feel that the Lord brings to your conscience, yeah, we need to deal with specific sins. You know, I've said something hurtful to someone. I've seen something on television I shouldn't have watched. I've put something into my body that's harmful and displeasing to God. I've done something that I should not have done. It's displeasing to God. It violates His commandments. I need to confess that specifically. But it's not about dredging up every detail of my past. It's simply about doing what it takes to make myself right with God through Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. I like that. You know, we don't serve a God who, maybe I will, maybe I won't. God always lives up to His promises. He is faithful and He is just. Okay? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beautiful promise. You feel like you need a clean slate as you enter into the next year? You're looking back over the year at some of the mistakes you've made, some of the people you may have hurt, some of the things you've done that you know are displeasing to God, some commandments you've broken, some sin. You want your slate to be clean as we enter into this new year. Well, God offers us that opportunity to do just that, to enter into the new year with a perfectly clean slate, in perfect standing with God, not because we're worthy, not because we deserve it, but because God, through Jesus Christ, has paid the penalty in full for your sins. And all he does is ask us to exercise a little faith, a little humility, acknowledging that we need forgiveness, and acknowledge that he is our Lord, he is our Savior, and we are sinners, and we need salvation. And also a willingness. Now, I'm not saying that we do this overnight, but a willingness to get victory over these sins. Because like I said earlier, one of the earmarks, one of the characteristics of a true Christian is a desire to live a Christian life, to live a life like Jesus, okay? So we need to be striving towards that, but at the same time, recognizing as far short as we fall from that, his grace is still sufficient for us to cover our sins. I like how the next chapter, well, I finished this chapter, first epistle of John, chapter 1. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God's description of us is that we are all sinners. I'm going to read into the next chapter for just a moment. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. Okay? God's desire for us is that we grow and we move away from the sinful life we've been living. Okay? Make no mistake about it. If I'm just going to confession with the intent of sinning again, that confession is totally worthless in the eyes of God. But if I'm going as a humble searcher for a deeper walk with God, and I feel the sin that's holding me back, dragging me down, and I want to be delivered from that sin, he says, I will deliver you from that sin if there's a willingness to be delivered from that sin, okay, whatever it may be. These things I write to you, the old apostle says, that you may not sin. The ideal is we move away from being sinful. Okay? We're not there yet. Don't misunderstand. We're not there yet. We're still striving for perfection. We're still growing up into the image of Christ, into Christ-likeness. But we need to be on that journey, growing towards Christ-likeness. So that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Jesus stands as our advocate, our heavenly high priest. He stands as the one who intercedes between the Heavenly Father, the one who is absolutely holy, and sinful, unrighteous us. So he is a Savior who not only died upon the cross, resurrected for us, his work was not completed then, now he ministers in our behalf as our heavenly mediator between God and man. All right? So that's one passage that I like to fall back on when I talk about the human condition. Now I'm going to go to the Old Testament book of Micah. Now I could go many places in the Old Testament and the New Testament that talks about forgiveness. I could go to Psalm 130 that says, if you keep a record of sins, there's no hope, but there's forgiveness with you. Okay? I could go all over the Old Testament, but I happen to stumble on this passage here in Micah chapter 7. I was reading this meditatively not long ago, and I want to just kind of share some thoughts with you in closing. Micah chapter 7, start with verse 8. He says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Now, who is our enemy? Who is the one who accuses us when we stumble and fall? Who is the one who strives so hard to get us separated from God, the source of life? Who is the enemy? Well, here, this prophet Micah shares the experience of a forgiven Christian, of a forgiven believer. He says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy, devil. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case. Now, I look into my own spiritual life. I look into my own walk with Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a work in progress, still growing towards Christ-likeness. And sometimes when I fall, I do something that I know is dishonoring to God. When I say something that's harmful to someone else, when I do, we sin in many, many ways, right? And I feel the guilt about this. And it keeps being brought to my consciousness what a guilty sinner I am. I can look at a verse like this And it says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he pleads my case. You may have committed something that's really bearing down on your conscience, really making you feel guilty. All of us have experienced that from time to time, if you're a Christian, if you're a true believer. Now, if you're not a believer, then we typically go on sinning and kind of like it. Okay, oh, what's the big deal? What's another drink? What's another shot of morphine? What's another, you know, sin in so many forms? Wow, what's the big deal? I ain't hurting anybody, you know. That's the attitude a non-believer takes. A true believer takes the attitude of sin is harmful not only to myself, it's harmful to my relationship with God. Sin separates me from God. Now, I didn't say God from you, but it separates me from God. And I bear the guilt, the consciousness of that sin, sometimes for days, until I feel reunited, reconciled with God. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, in other words, that sense of separation from God, because I've sinned. Sin separates us. Sin gives us that sense of God's indignation towards us, his wrath towards sin. Until he pleads my case, executes judgment for him, he will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. I love that passage, especially, and again, it's Micah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, because it reminds me that even when I sin grievously, and I feel like, oh my goodness, there's going to be a long period of time now where I'm going to feel in isolation from God, where I don't know if God can forgive this, and I feel so guilty and everything. It's just a matter of time. Time heals. Time not giving up, confessing my sin, claiming the promise of forgiveness for my sin, and going forward knowing that my sin is forgiven, even though my conscience may not bear that up right now. Even though I'm still feeling the conscientious impact of my sin, the shame, the guilt, oh, how could I do that, you know, feeling. But when I confess my sins, I'm assured of forgiveness, even though I don't feel the forgiveness yet. Even though it may take some time when I feel conscience stricken, feel guilty, shame-filled, even though it may take some time, I've confessed my sin, I've claimed the promise for forgiveness, and now I'm experiencing what Micah calls the indignation of the Lord, that sense of separation. But God doesn't leave us there. It says, until he pleads my case, executes judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Beautiful promise worth meditating on. But Micah's not through yet. Micah has another beautiful promise in Micah 7. And I'm going to just start with verse 18 here. Going to close in just a couple minutes. Micah 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Who is God like you? Now, the ancient people, they had many gods that they served. There was never a God who was as willing to forgive and accept and reconcile with the sinner like the God of Israel. There was never a God who was so loving as the God of the Israelites, so forgiving. It says, he does not retain his anger forever. That's that indignation thought again. Because he delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And then he says, don't go deep sea diving. Leave the record of your sins behind you. You have asked for forgiveness. You have confessed your sins. You have acknowledged that you are a sinner. You have demonstrated a willingness to be an overcomer, not just someone who waddles around in sin and keeps hoping that you're forgiven, but someone who desires to be delivered from that sin. You have confessed it. And now God says, I cast your sin into the depths of the sea. That's how forgiving he is. That's him. That is God offering forgiveness, offering us a clean slate as we come to the end of this year and enter into the new year. A clean slate, full reconciliation with our Creator, full righteous standing before God because of Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us in our behalf. Forgiveness, oh, we need it so bad, don't we? Most of us, many of us, don't realize the depth of our sin. Well, what am I being forgiven from? Well, you're a sinner. You've done things displeasing to God. You violated his commandments. You've sin against someone else. You've done things that God is not pleased with, but yet he offers forgiveness. He offers cleansing. The condition is, am I willing to give it up? If I could push a button, flip a lever, flick a switch, and get that sin out of my life, would I do it? That's the condition. It's not, you know, sin and just keep getting forgiven, sin again, get forgiven. No, the cycle stops at some point because we want to be like Jesus. And that's the ultimate goal of a Christian. It's not just living in heaven, but it's living the godly life here on planet Earth. And often we fail in that regard, but he is willing to forgive and to cast our sins into the depth of the sea. So that's my message for you as we enter into the new year. I hope that this year is wonderful for you. I hope that you're able to look into the future and see whatever happens in the future, God is ever present with you. God is going to take you through whatever the future holds. Thank you for listening to Advent Hope. I hope that you have a blessed day, a happy new year. Looking forward to talking to you next year. God bless you.